The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To download this series of shiurim, as well as hundreds of other recorded shiurim, articles, and video presentations, please visit thehalachacenter.org.
Kedushin Daf Yud Gimel. Our Gemara discusses the halacha of a person who owed money to a woman, and he then approached the woman and he said, "Here's the money that I owe you." And then before he gives it to her, he says, "Harayat Makudashasli," and he hands her the money. The Gemara says that the halacha is that if he had originally spoken to her and come to terms about being Mekadosher, the halacha would be that the Kedushin would be Chal. However, if he had not spoken to her beforehand, if he was not Shadich, and she had no idea what was coming, then she can say, "In Shakli v'didi Shakli. True, I took the money, and you said that the reason you were giving the money is so that I will become Mekudashus to you, but really I intended to take it for myself." So the Rashba mentions that although in this situation that's the halacha, but it's only because the woman had originally said, the man had originally said that here's the money that I owe you. Since he originally mentioned the fact that he owed her money, even though he changed it and said Hareya Mekudeshesli, nevertheless, if it had not been a situation of Shadduch where they had come to a meeting of minds about getting married, the halacha would be that the Kedushin would not be Chal. However, if a man owes a woman money and he approaches her and he says Hareyat Mekudeshesli and he hands her money without mentioning anything about the fact that he owed her money originally, then the halacha would be that the Kedushin would be Chal and she would not have the option of saying In Shakli V'didi Shakli. And the Rashba asks the question. The Rashba says, certainly, if Reuven sends Shimon to collect the debt from Levi, and Levi indeed hands the money to Shimon and says, "I want to pay my debt to Reuven," but Levi, in fact, owes money to Shimon also, and Shimon accepts the money quietly, he doesn't say anything. Nevertheless, Shimon can turn around and say, "True, I accepted the money in Shakli v'didi Shakli. True, you said that I should accept the money on behalf of Reuven to pay up your debt to Reuven, but nevertheless, when I took the money, I had the opposite intention. My intention was that I was collecting it for my own debt." In other words, the person who lent money is under no obligation to tell the borrower exactly why they're collecting why they're taking the money. The borrower may intend to be giving the money for one thing, to pay off Reuven's debt, and the lender can sort of force the borrower to give the money for another reason without actually saying anything. Even though he was quiet, he can nevertheless turn around and say that my intention at the time of taking the money was that I was taking it for myself rather than for the intended purpose of the money. So the Rashba says, nevertheless, Kedushin is different. Why? Because Das HaIsha, the das of the isha is that she wants to get married. Since a woman wants to get married, so we say that even though By a debt, the malva, the creditor would be able to say, "I took the money for whatever I wanted. I didn't take it for whatever you wanted." Nevertheless, we assume that the woman wants to get married, and therefore, it's a different kind of situation. The Ketzayis brings down this Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch mentions the halacha that if a person lends money to somebody else, and the loiva, the person who owes the money, comes over to the malva and says, "I want to give you money to buy a piece of land from you." And the malva then turns around after he got the money and said, "No, I really wanted to take it for the debt that you owed me." The Shulchan Aruch says that the malva is not able to do that. So the Ketzayis says that it's mustaber to him that this halach of the Shulchan Aruch is only by Shadduch, only when they had originally discussed the terms and had come to a meeting of minds. Why? Because just like the Rashba says that the malva would be able to, generally speaking, take the money for his chayiv rather than what the loiva intended to give it for, so too in this situation we would say the same thing. Even though the loiva intended to give the money in order to buy a piece of land from the malva, nevertheless, since the loiva owes money to the malva, and eved loiva lish malva, the malva can force the loiva to pay against his will, therefore the halacha is that the malva would be under no obligation to hand the karka over to the loiva, and to the contrary, the malva would say that I accepted the money for the chayv that you owed me, and the karka, the piece of land, does not belong to you. The Ktzais brings down the Rashba that says the Ktzais brings down the fact that in Eben Ezer it says that Kedushin is different, and the Ktzais says the answer to that question is what the Rashba says. The Rashba says that the situation of a woman is different because Da'asa Ishal is Skadesh. A woman wants to get married, and therefore we can't compare the Halacha of Kedushin to the Halacha of Mekahu Memkar. However, the Nesivus appears to dispute this Ktzais. The Nesivus in Siman Pei Gimel, the Ktzais in Siman Kuf Tzadik, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the halacha of selling karka. The Nesivus is in Siman Pei Hei. The Nesivus says that this is not the halacha. By Mekahu Memkar, even if it was not a situation of Shadach, even if there had been no meeting of minds, the malva, the creditor, has no right to take the money for anything other than what the loiva intended to give it for. Even though the Nesivus agrees that in the situation that the Rashba discussed, of course the malva has the right to determine the purpose of the payment. In other words, if I come to somebody and as an agent of somebody else, and Reuven makes me a shliach to collect his debt from Levi, and I go to Levi and Levi gives me the money and he says I want to pay my debt to Reuven, the Rashba said that the halacha is that the payment, that Shimon can then turn around and say, I can turn around and say that I'm accepting the payment for myself. Nevertheless, the Nesivus says that would only apply to a situation where the borrower was trying to pay a debt. Since the borrower was trying to pay one debt, the lender can accept it for whatever debt he wants, even though the buyer wanted to pay a different debt. But if the buyer had wanted to accomplish a maisa kinyan, they giving the money. When the buyer gives the money, he specified that the giving of the money should accomplish a kinyan. It's very, very hard, says the Nesivus, to be mevatel the kinyan that the loiva intended to accomplish by giving the money. And therefore, the Nesivus is mechalik between kinyan and paying up a debt. When we're discussing paying a debt, the malva has the upper hand, but when we're discussing a situation where the loiva, the borrower, is trying to make a kinyan, and the lender wants to accept the money quietly and say, in shakli, the lender would not have the right to do that. We once had an interesting question in a situation where there were a few partners, and they did not have a very, very effective operating agreement. One of the partners, they were actually Yershim. They had inherited some real estate from their father. And one of the Yershim, one of the sons, was more of an active fellow, and he managed to bully the other Yershim into allowing him to have full control over the distributions of the profits of the real estate. And there was one other Yerush who fought him, who was not happy with this arrangement. He was not comfortable with the fact that this particular Yerush had the upper hand in determining when and how to distribute the profits of the real estate. So he constantly tangled with this fellow. And obviously, this the other brothers were afraid of this guy. They didn't want to fight with him. So it ended up that this active partner had the upper hand, and he would never give the person who tangled with him. Let's call him Reuven. Reuven was the active partner, and Shimon was the Yerush who was not happy with the situation. And Reuven would never give Shimon any distributions from the properties. Shimon was in a tight spot. He had to marry off a child, so Shimon approached Reuven. He asked him for a distribution, and Reuven said, I refuse to give you any distribution unless you agree to sell your entire share in all the properties for a certain amount. Shimon, seeing that he had no other choice, he was against a tight spot. He had inherited this large amount of the real estate from his father, but he couldn't get his hands on any of it. So he agreed. And then subsequently he wanted to take the partners to Din Torah to dispute the fact that he had signed over his share in the real estate. So this would seem to be comparable to this Nesivus, since the silent partner specified and said, I'm only giving you the money if you agree to sell me your chelik in the karka, your chelik in the property. So one would have thought that just like the Nesivus says that by a borrower who pays money, the lender and who gives money with the intention of executing a kinyan, the lender, the creditor has no option of avoiding the kinyan in the future by saying that I did not intend to take it for the kinyan in shakli with the di shakli. One could have thought that the situation of a partner would be comparable to that. However, upon further research, this doesn't seem to be the halacha. The Gemara talks about a situation where a husband sells something to his wife. The husband approaches his wife and says, I'd like to sell you a piece of land. And the wife agrees, she gives the money, okay, I'm going to buy the land. The husband turns around and says, no, the sale didn't work. Why? Because all the money that you have belongs to me. So the reason I agreed to sell you the land was not because I wanted to sell you the land. I just wanted to find out about all the money that you're squirreling away from me. You're embezzling funds from me, and you're stealing my money. I want to find out where that money is. L'gluye zuzi hu da'avida. I want to find out where if you're holding on to money that you shouldn't have. So that's why I offered to sell you the piece of land, because I wanted to see how much money is available, how much money you stole from me. So the halach over there is that the mecher is batal, the sale is we void the transaction, because the husband can say, L'gluye zuzi hu da'avdi, I only wanted to find out about all the money that you're embezzling from me. The Beis Shloima asks Akasha, what's the difference between this situation and the halach and Kuf Tzadik that we just said over? In Kuf Tzadik it says in the Shulchan Aruch that the malva has no option of saying to the loive that I only took the money in shakli with the di shakli. So why would the Gemara in Bava Basra say that the husband can say to his wife, L'gluye zuzi udavdi? Why can't the malva also say L'gluye zuzi udavdi? The malva wanted to find out if the loive had any money available. The loive presumably may have been telling the malva, I don't have any money to pay you back. And the malva wanted to find out if the loive has money. So the malva offered to sell him a piece of land. Why can't the malva say, I only accepted the money, L'gluye zuzi, and the sale should be invalid? The Beis Shloima answers by differentiating between a situation where the money is owed to you or where the money belongs to you. He says, the halacha in Kuf Tzadik is where the loiva owes the money to the malva. The money actually belongs to the loiva. The loiva is under an obligation to repay the malva. In that situation, the malva can't say, L'gluye zuzi udavdi, because the loiva is being makna the money to the malva, and he's transferring ownership of the money to the malva. The money up till this point had been under the ownership of the loiva, and at this point he was transferring ownership to the malva, and he stipulated that would accomplish a kinyan. So the over there will say that the malva cannot uproot that transaction, cannot overturn what he did, but you know, based on the fact that he's that this argument of L'gluye zuzi. However, by a husband and a wife, where the husband can say that this money belonged to me from day one, it never belonged to you in the first place, over there the husband can say that even though I agreed to make a sale, but it was only L'gluye zuzi. Based on this distinction of the Beis Shloima, I think it's very, very likely that in the situation of partners, that the halacha will be more comparable to the situation of a husband and a wife than a situation of a borrower and a creditor. Because in a situation of partners also, the halacha is that when two people are shutfim, all the profits that come in belong to both of them equally. If this part, if Reuven had been withholding from Shimon his due share of the profits, it's not the pshat that the money belonged to Reuven and he was under an obligation to repay the money to Shimon. The money originally belonged to Shimon in the first place, because since they're partners and the profits should have been distributed equally among all the partners, the Shimon was equally entitled to that money as Reuven, and the money belonged to Shimon. So when Shimon accepted the money, he would be able to use the argument of a L'gluye zuzi, just like a husband and a wife, since the money belonged to him in the first place.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.